Thank you, Neil. Thank you for blessing us with that beautiful music. As Lynn said, today's message is part of an ongoing sermon series that Pastor Lynn has been leading on the Phoenix Affirmations. This modest book was written in 2006 by Eric Elness, a UCC pastor who was in Phoenix, Arizona at the time. It is a compilation of thinking of mainstream Christian leaders, their best take on where the emerging Christian faith stands today and where it may be headed in the future. We are studying the affirmation as a way to open ourselves to conversations about what we believe, to explore our questions, and to hear from each other about our individual faith understandings. As always, you will not hear from this pulpit what you should believe. Each of us in the United Church of Christ has a God-given right to interpret the Word of God for ourselves. When we differ in our views, we do so with lively discussion, but also with harmony and wholehearted respect for each other. Today is affirmation number 6, and I think we have a slide on that one. Standing as Jesus does with the outcast and the oppressed, the denigrated and afflicted, seeking peace and justice with or without the support of others. Next Sunday before worship, there will be a discussion about this sermon and about what you think this affirmation means in terms of the life of the church and in the lives of us as individuals. Pastor Lynn will be leading that in King Hall prior to worship. Now, this is not a shy congregation. Come next Sunday and say what you think about standing with Jesus. But now, let us pray. Still speaking, God, be with us this morning as we seek to find truth and light in your holy word. Amen. Has it ever crossed your mind to wonder about how the alphabet was first invented? How on earth did someone imagine an alphabet, and why? Think of it. The alphabet, lines and squiggles that represent an abstract concept of sounds that are the basis of all spoken Western languages. Well, Dr. Orly Goldwasser, professor of Egyptology at Hebrew University of Jerusalem, thinks she has the answer. Goldwasser believes that the very first alphabet from which all other alphabets developed was invented by illiterate Canaanite miners. They were working in Pharaoh's underground turquoise mines in the Sinai Peninsula some 4,000 years ago, give or take a couple hundred years. Now, these Canaanite miners were apparently inspired by Egyptian pictorial hieroglyphs and a desire to articulate their own thoughts in writing. They created 22 alphabetic signs that they scratched onto rocks. They used these signs to express their entire language. Now, Dr. Goldwasser points out that to read in the Sinai in those days meant reading Egyptian hieroglyphics and cuneiforms. That meant knowledge of hundreds of hieroglyphics and an understanding of the complex rules of their use. That would be like learning Chinese. No one had that kind of time in the turquoise mines. The work was dirty, hard, unending, and very, very dangerous. By contrast, the new alphabetic writing systems used few signs. People needed only a few relatively simple reading rules to associate the signs with sounds. They used these signs, Goldwasser explains, to scratch prayers on the walls of their minds. Well, Dr. Goldwasser's discovery, as you might imagine, had been a big hit in the world of archaeology. And arguments have continued to boil since her initial announcement in the year 2010. The controversy about her thesis is academic and complex, and may I say arcane. But if I may be permitted to crudely boil it down to the core of the issue, the question is, who really invented the alphabet? Illiterate minors or educated multilingual sophisticates? Think about it. How could it be possible that marginalized, uneducated, poor people toiling in isolation deep in the desert of the Sinai actually be capable of such a simple yet brilliant concept? How could it be possible that such genius could arise unaided from the bottom of the food chain? Whoa. As Christians, we know the answer to that one. We know that God often chooses the least of these. You don't have to read the Bible for very long to hear about the 15-year-old virgin peasant girl, Mary, who became the mother of Jesus. Or Moses, the murderer who led his people from slavery to the promised land. Or the prostitute Rahab, who sheltered Hebrew spies sent by Joshua. Or the short, small sheep herder with a slingshot named David. My friend, God chooses. God sees. God knows who has the capability for great deeds in spite of how they may look on the outside. God knows that everyone is a child of God. Everyone is a worthy person. And isn't that what today's affirmation is about? Stand as Jesus does with the outcast and the oppressed, the denigrated and afflicted, seeking peace and justice with or without the support of others. When you do so, to paraphrase the book of Hebrews, you may be standing with angels. Now, this concept of standing for those who have no voice is at the very heart of our history and our tradition as members of the United Church of Christ. We were once those people, driven from our own land in England into exile in Holland because of our religious beliefs and our desire to worship in a way we felt was fit. And something amazing happened in exile in Holland. We were welcomed, embraced, and encouraged. The Dutch permitted us to work, to worship in our own way, to send our children to school, to be an active part of life in the community. And this acceptance struck a very, very deep chord in the inner being of our church. Traveling on that understanding of hospitality and extravagant welcome from this little band of congregational believers grew to include all the people, churches, and denominations that would join them to become the United Church of Christ. And together, we have a tradition of social justice that marks us to this very day. Since we first arrived on this continent in 1620, we've established a record of standing with Jesus for justice. We call them our firsts. Just a few of our firsts are: we took the first stand against slavery in the year 1700 when Reverend Samuel Sewell wrote the first anti-slavery pamphlet in America, laying the foundation for the abolition movement a century later. In 1773, we led the first act of civil disobedience when 5,000 angry colonists gathered for the Boston Tea Party. That was us. In 1785, we ordained the first African American man. 1853, Antoinette Brown is the first woman since the New Testament ordained as a Christian minister. And perhaps she's the first woman in history elected to serve a Christian congregation as a pastor. Wahoo! Between the years 1862 and 1877, we opened 6 colleges and universities for blacks in the South. In 1972, we ordained the first openly gay man to become a minister in a mainline Protestant denomination. In 1973, we stood with Cesar Chavez for justice and civil rights for farm workers in California. And in 2005, General Synod affirmed marriage equality for all people. And today, I'm wearing this special stole that I received at General Synod in July. I don't mind telling you, it's a little warm. It was designed for the fall. This stole is a symbol of my pledge to stand with young people as they go back to school, to stand against bullying, especially gay youth, some of whom have been driven to suicide by cruel bullying. Now, no matter where you stand personally on any of these issues that I've listed, as a church as a whole, we are committed to stand with Jesus and with those who are outcast, oppressed, denigrated, and afflicted. As a church, we are committed to follow Jesus when he commands us to love our neighbor and our God as ourselves. Where do you stand? How do you stand? You don't have to write letters to the editor to stand with Jesus. You don't have to be on street corners with signs to stand with those in need of love and support. Anyone can pray for others. Anyone can say a kind word to someone else. Any one of us can smile at others, thank others, touch others. Any one of us can say a word of encouragement or comfort, and any one of us can say thank you. Each one of us can forgive someone. My friends, each one of us can stand with Jesus every single day. Each one of us. Amen.